Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back in to Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. I am Josh Phillips, sitting in for the vacationing Mark Sturgis. We're going to go ahead and jump into my SEC East preview. Yesterday, we discussed the SEC West as I see it playing out, and I've got LSU winning the SEC West. And going to Atlanta. So I've got LSU winning the West, and today we are going to talk about the East. The way that I see it is it's a four-team race between Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, and Missouri. And I think the separation between those two is going to come down to several factors. The first one being home schedule. When I look out there, you know, there's some publications that are picking Florida to win the East. And look, I would not be shocked if the Gators ended up winning the East. But if they do, they're going to have to be road warriors. Because when I look at Florida's schedule, Florida opens up on August the 24th with the Miami Hurricanes. You know, people talk about that being a rivalry. I don't ever remember it really being a rivalry. Maybe Mark can talk about it tomorrow. I know there was some games during the 80s when the Hurricanes were really, really good and when Spurrier first got to Florida in the early 90s, Miami was on its way out and Florida was on its way up. There might have been a couple of games in there that were worth a hoot and a holler, but, you know, Florida should win that game. So you're 1-0. You've got UT Martin at home. You ought to be 2-0. Now you've got a trap game with Kentucky, and people are writing off Kentucky at their own peril. Because one of the things that Mark Stoops has done is Kentucky believes they can beat anybody. They've beaten South Carolina 5 years in a row. They went to the bowl game last year and ran Penn State out of the stadium. Now, yes, I understand they had some NFL draft guys that are no longer there, but I really respect what Mark Stoops has done up in Lexington, and I know Benny Snell is gone. Josh, I'm trying to remember his name. He was the outside linebacker. I understand that he's gone. But I really believe that Mark Stoops has developed a culture there where they expect to go in and win. They're not going to be intimidated by anybody. And that type of atmosphere and that type of culture is contagious. That is not going to be an easy game for Florida. I'm going to tell you right now, Florida may win that game, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be an absolute dogfight. Then they've got Tennessee at home. We still don't know what Jeremy Pruitt's going to be up there. So I'm going to give that to Florida. Towson, I don't even know who the heck Towson is.
The Towson Tigers.
Who the heck is Towson?
That's a FBS school.
Okay.
I will look up and tell you what Towson's record was in 2018.
October the 5th, they welcome the Auburn Tigers. That's a 50-50 game. I don't think they'll lose that game, but with Miles on, see, that's where with Auburn, Auburn's like the fly in the ointment because they're good enough to beat anybody, and they're also good enough to lose anybody. That's Gus.
Towson was 7-5 last year.
7-5.
5-3 in the Colonial Athletic.
Congratulations to Towson. You've made the big time on ESPN Upstate. Then you've got two back-to-back road SEC games. This three, to me, Florida's schedule or Florida's postseason this year is going to be made up in the first 3 weeks of October. Because Florida should be undefeated when they host Auburn on October the 5th. Now you've got a three-game set, actually a four-game set, of Auburn at home, at LSU, at South Carolina. You've got an open date, and then you play Georgia in the cocktail party down in Jacksonville. They don't call it anymore, but I'm going to call it that. So Florida is going to make hay in the month of October and the first weekend in November. That's when we're going to find out about the Gators. If you come out of that with one loss, you're going to win the East and you're going to go to Atlanta. If you come out of that 2-2, you're not going to win the East and you're probably going to go to the Outback Bowl. So Auburn's season is going to come down to, Florida's season is going to come down to the October 5th date versus Auburn, October 12th on the road at LSU, which I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to win that game. On the road at South Carolina, which is going to be extremely tough, an open date, and then you play Georgia. Because then after that, you've got Vanderbilt at Missouri, an open date, and then you play that cupcake team, Florida State. So the Gators better get through the month of October unscathed if they have any aspirations of going to Atlanta. One loss, you've got a shot. Two losses, you've got no shot. But I believe Florida, they're capable of doing it. The schedule, though, that's the thing. In college football, home field advantage is everything. Vegas for a long time has said that in college football, it's worth at least a touchdown. See, I think it's more than that. Home field advantage in college football may be worth 10. So when you go on the road in college football, I don't care who you are, you're 10 points behind the scoreboard. Because all it takes is a special teams touchdown, a defensive touchdown, and now you're in a dogfight with a team that you really shouldn't be in one with. The fans are going crazy. You can't hear. That oblong ball bounces funny ways. Georgia's schedule. Right off the bat, on the road at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, I like what Derek Mason has done. That's a game Georgia should win, but it's early in the season, and you're on the road. I'm going to say Georgia wins that game close. Vanderbilt is going to give Georgia all they can handle out of the gate. But I'm going to say the Dogs are going to win that in the recruiting battle. So then they're going to go on a run. They've got Murray State, Arkansas State. Those are all wins. And then you've got Notre Dame. Last year, Georgia was on the road, had that epic game where I believe they won 22-21 in South Bend. They've got Georgia coming between the hedges. They got Notre Dame coming between the hedges. Then they've got an open date before they play at Tennessee, South Carolina at home, Kentucky at home, Florida and Jacksonville, Missouri at home, on the road at Auburn. See, this is why I say it's a 10-point game on the road, because, Georgia was rolling a couple of years ago, and what happened? They went into Auburn and got ran out of the plains. I think Auburn beat them like 30-something to nothing. at home against Texas A&M, and then on the road at Georgia Tech. So all of Georgia's difficult games are at home, and that's an advantage. At home against Notre Dame, although that's not an SEC game, it will have national championship implications, because if you lose that, you can't lose any other ones. At home against Notre Dame, at home versus South Carolina, at home versus Kentucky. You play Florida down in Jacksonville, so that's a neutral site game, and you're at home against Missouri, at home against Texas A&M. So all of your most difficult games, Georgia fans, you've got in Sanford Stadium. And that could possibly be enough to get Georgia to the SEC East Championship, just off the schedule alone, that their most difficult games are at home. And Georgia is still a very talented team. I still think they're suspect in their secondary. I think they've got some linebacker issues. They've got one or two defensive linemen that are pretty talented, but they've got some that aren't. The strength of this team is the offensive line. Georgia, without question, has got the best offensive line in college football. I've seen it with my own eyes. Those guys, that is an NFL offensive line. And if you can control the line of scrimmage with your offensive line, you're going to be in every ball game. You've got a returner in Jake Fromm, who I think is undervalued. You've got a serviceable running back in Swift. And you've got serviceable wide receivers. But to me, Georgia utilizes their tight ends as good as anybody in college football. I like Blazevich. Outside, that kid is a good – he's an NFL tight end. He's every bit of 6'6", 260 pounds, with about 3% body fat. He's a really good inline blocker. He can catch the ball down the field. He's not going to separate. But he can't. You can get some plays out of him. And then, of course, like I said, you've got all of your tough games at home at Sanford Stadium, and that matters. So right now, between Florida and Georgia, I would give Georgia the edge because of the home schedule. Kentucky. Diesel, am I going to have time to get through Kentucky? We got to go to break. All right, we'll get this break in, and then I'll talk about Kentucky, and we'll go through their schedule. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is really going to put SEC people on their ear. Even though we're talking about the SEC, welcome back to Straight Up with Sturge. At ESPN Upstate, I am Josh Phillips sitting in for the vacationing Mark Sturgis. Larry Williams, a writer for Tiger Illustrated, just tweeted out this. You know, because there's all this boohoo about John Simmons saying that Notre Dame was a bigger opponent, was a tougher opponent than Alabama. Larry Williams, a writer for Tiger Illustrated, just tweeted out, Clemson's offensive staff was privately telling people before the championship that Notre Dame's defense was better than Alabama's. Boom. That's a quote. Clemson's offensive staff was privately telling people before the championship game that Notre Dame's defense was better than Alabama's. And see, here's something that somebody has to explain this to me. You know, when Nick Saban, after the post-game press conference, He said one of his worries coming into the game was that his defensive backfield was going to get exposed because he didn't like the way they were playing and they had injuries. All right, well, yesterday, a really good friend of mine who listened to the show that I love with all my heart said that he was very tempted to call in the show yesterday and shellack me for picking Alabama to finish third and to lose to South Carolina. And the way he was going to do it, and it makes sense, was that he was going to play the personnel game with me versus South Carolina, meaning, okay, Alabama's got Tua, South Carolina's got Jake Bentley. Who would you take? Alabama's got this offensive guy who is a 4 or 5 star. South Carolina's got this guy. Who would you take? And my response to that is, with Alabama, you could do that with any team they play because they've been number one in the recruiting rankings literally since Nick Saban's been there. So how do they lose? How is it that Alabama has had all of these number one recruiting classes, but Saban is sitting there after the game talking about he's worried about his DBs because they didn't have enough? What? Alabama's complaining they don't have enough quality depth at defensive back? What? With 10 straight number one recruiting classes? See, crazy stuff. You want to join the conversation? 844-477-3776 is the call-in line. Hit us up on the Healthcare text line. Text ESPN to 71307.
Texter says, it hurts my soul to hear you call Florida State a cupcake, mostly because you're right.
Well, look, when Florida State should have lost to Samford. Okay, let me say that again. Samford, who is a FBS team out of Birmingham.
FCS. Southern Conference.
FCS team out of Birmingham, coached by Chris Hatcher, who is an outstanding offensive mind. Okay, when Florida State gives up 500 and something yards to Samford, you're in trouble. And look, Florida State fans, my, how the mighty have fallen. And you know what? I think a lot of it you do have to lay at Jimbo's feet, because I think before he got out of town, he pulled the old double cross and said, hey, you're not going to give me what I want. We just won't recruit. And boy, Willie Taggart, right now he's got to be thinking, I had a better team at Western Kentucky than what I've got in Tallahassee.
So you're saying that he did intentionally, or you're proposing that Jimbo Fisher did intentionally what Steve Spurrier did accidentally?
Well,
just gave up.
Spurrier did it intentionally too. See, it wasn't an accident. And coaches that were on his staff actually have come out and said, we stopped recruiting the way we were supposed to recruit. But because, look, and I don't want to run down that rabbit hole, but Spurrier was never – he hated recruiting. He hated it. Let's go to the phone lines and bring it – am I pronouncing this right? Is this Hubert?
Hubert.
Hubert, welcome to Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
Yeah. I hate to like that name. The one thing, Coach, I think is hilarious that I so much appreciate listening to you on this show is what people overlook so much is how you take kids and you prepare them for the next level. So you get all these 5-stars, they don't ever see the field until their junior year, and then they're stuck out there, and they haven't been developed one iota. and understanding and seeing where somebody is. Now, I've never been able to understand who becomes a 5-star and who becomes 3-star and who becomes 4-star and all that crap. I don't. Doesn't make any sense.
Hubert, when you find that out, you let me know because we'll be rich.
Yeah. Because I mean, it's just like, so you got people that don't know diddly squat about nothing, and they're going out and they're going, oh yeah, this is a 5-star. They're playing in DFE Oregon, who hadn't played anybody, and you're going like, what the world? You know, it doesn't even make sense to me. But being able to see talent and utilize it, develop that talent, that's the difference in all college sports. I would say college football and basketball. You know, and you can't, you know, think about this. When's the last time Kentucky's won one national championship in basketball with all 5-star ungodlies, one and doneers? Duke's won one. No, Duke has never won one with those guys.
Correct.
And here Roy is, and as a North Carolina fan, you know, they're going like, what the world? You know, why aren't we getting the 5-stars? Well, heck, they can't play. You know, I mean, they can play, but they can't play at the level that a guy that's 22 years old that's been there 4 years who understands what the heck's going on. And that's the same thing that's happening to these star things, you know. So that's how I look at it. And you're talking about when you look at these guys that are playing football or you watch a college game, you know, and the only thing they do is watch the daggum, they watch the ball. They never see what's going on. They don't ever look at the offensive line. They don't ever see a block. They don't ever see any of that, you know, until they've run it back 3 times on television. And that's – they don't even understand the daggum game. And it drives me nuts. So anyway, I could talk about this for days. But anyway, enjoy the show when you're on, and thank you. You need to get back out of daggum high school game. You need to get back to the college game.
Hubert, thank you for that. I appreciate that. And let me say this. I enjoyed coaching college ball. I enjoyed the college players, but I am loving being around these high school kids, man. They are, I mean, every day when you go in, their energy and passion and enthusiasm, I mean, never say never. You never know what's going to happen down the road. But, Hubert, thank you for the kind words. I appreciate that.
You know, to Hubert's point, I'm curious how much pressure there is to rank kids higher than they probably deserve to be to get more recognition for whatever recruiting service you happen to work for. So you go and see a kid who's got some skills and probably a 3-star, a legitimate 3-star. But you're going to sell some magazines. You're going to sell some subscriptions. You're going to get some more people to sign up for your website if you rate him as a 5-star, because you know what? All of his friends and family are all going to go sign up for the website, and then all of a sudden, boom, he's overinflated. Now, sure, there are plenty of 5-star guys out there who are freaks of nature, and they deserve to be 5-stars. But I'd be curious to know, composite across all of the major ranking systems, if there are more 5-stars or upper higher 4-stars than there ever have been. And that would tell us if there's pressure to rank these guys higher for no real reason other than to get people to pay attention to your magazine.
Well, the other thing about this star treatment is, you know, a lot of times they won't do it. A lot of time the star basing is based on the offers that the young man has. Meaning, I'll give you an example. If you and I are in high school and we both play quarterback and you're out of Oakland, California, and you've got offers from Southern Cal, Texas, Alabama, whatever, automatically right out of the chute, you're going to be at least a 4-star player, okay, because of those teams that have offered you. If I'm the same type of player, maybe I'm better, okay, but I'm out of Pickerington, Ohio, all right, and I've got offers from Buffalo and Wyoming and Vanderbilt and Middle Tennessee State. Those are the only ones that I've got right now. Well, they're probably going to start me out at about a 2. Okay, if I get another Power Five offer from like a Maryland or somewhere like that, I might get to a 3. All right, but if I go to a camp, and now all of a sudden, 20 of the top 25 teams in college football offer me, now all of a sudden I just became a 5-star. And that's the way those things kind of go
down. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes,
it's if you get offers, you must be a better player. You have to be, because otherwise, why would Alabama, Clemson, wherever, why would they offer you if you weren't a better quarterback? You wish that they would rate you off of some sort of composite metric of what they've done in a measurable combine. That would be fantastic, but they don't.
Well, that's exactly right. What do we got left in this segment? Because I want to get
2 minutes.
About 2 minutes. All right. Well, I'm going to wait to jump on Kentucky because Kentucky, out of all the SEC East teams that we're talking about today, Kentucky's had the most attrition. But be careful with that because Kentucky has had some guys that have transferred in. You know, one thing that I applaud Mark Stoops on is he has utilized the JUCO ranks and transfers from other schools to his advantage, and he's done a great job of identifying character guys out of those JUCOs so that he doesn't get a turd. And that's what coaches call them. You can get a guy out of a JUCO who is as athletic as they come, but if he's a turd, he's going to ruin your program. And Mark Stoops has done a great job of identifying really good talent out of JUCOs that are really good character kids, and that's how you end up with the Josh Allens of the world, and that's how you end up with the Benny Snells of the world, and he's done a great job of doing that. And look, when you're at Kentucky, that's what you have to do, because you might get an in-state kid out of Louisville that may grow up to be that loves Kentucky and just wants to go there, or you may get one out of, you know, Cincinnati across Ohio. But traditionally, if you're Kentucky, you're not going to go into SEC country and beat Alabama and Auburn and Florida head-to-head on a kid. Now, they've held their own, but in order to get over that hump, and look, Mark Stoops done a great job. They went 8-4 at one point. I think they were up in the top 10 last year, and then they just got outmanned. And now he's got another quarterback that's transferred in, Terry Wilson from Oregon, who is another athlete at quarterback. And again, when you're at Kentucky, you need those type of players. You need, unless you've got an NFL arm, then you've got to do something different. And that's exactly what Mark Stoops has done. And we'll talk more about the Kentucky Wildcats. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back in to Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. I am Josh Phillips, sitting in for the vacationing Mark Sturgis. If you want to join the conversation, 844-477-3776 or hit us up on the Health Dare text line. Text ESPN to 71307. As we talk about the Kentucky Wildcats, you know, Kentucky lost so much. I mean, they lost three of their top four receivers. Lynn Bowden is back. He caught 67 passes for 745 yards and five scores last year. There's no question he is the number one target. Junior Josh Ali was a backup last year. He's going to be asked to contribute more, as well as Isaiah Epps. Isaiah Epps is an interesting receiver out on the perimeter, and that he's a pretty big target at 6'3". But there's no question their biggest loss is at tight end, where C.J. Conrad, who was an all-SEC performer at tight end, he's replaced by Justin Rigg, who's 6'6", 263 pounds. So they've got some answers. They lost three guys along their offensive line, and this is a bad year. As much as I love what Mark Stoops has done, this is a bad year to lose veteran offensive line leadership, because the defensive fronts across the SEC are significantly better this year than they have been in the last two. And that's saying something when you talk about a league that sticks perennial defensive lines in the top 10 of the NFL draft each year. But this year is an exceptionally good year for defensive line in the SEC and the SEC East. The offensive line, like I said, they've got to replace those three starters. You know, offensively, they've got to retool so much. When you lose 55% of your offense in a league where you really need veteran talent, it puts you behind the eight ball. When you look at the secondary, Kentucky's secondary, their biggest issue last year is they only had eight interceptions as a group. They're going to have to be able to do better than that. The safeties should be really, really good. They do return some talent in junior Devontae Robinson. And they're adding size with Mike Edwards. So there's some answers there for Kentucky. The cornerbacks are going to be the biggest question mark. They got a JUCO transfer, Brandon Echols. And again, going to be athletic, but you don't know what's going to happen when you get into SEC play. So right now, when you look at Kentucky, you know, Kentucky's got the biggest row to hoe. When you talk about losing all of that talent, especially along the line of scrimmage, I mean, you got to ask yourself, where are the wins going to come from? Because Florida's better. Georgia is Georgia. Missouri is going to be better under Kelly Bryant. And then I'm expecting South Carolina to be significantly better. Now, look, the Gamecocks won seven games last year, and you want to talk about significantly better. Well, significantly better is, you know, the question going around SEC circles is, you know, what does Will Muschamp have to do to keep the heat off? I honestly think he's done enough right now. I mean, people forget they had nine injuries going into that bowl game, nine. And their best player, Deebo Samuel, decided not to play against Virginia. Let me pose this question. Because I know Clemson listeners are here and they like to take shots and back and forth. Let me take the nine best players off of Clemson, including Trevor Lawrence, And where does Clemson end up? Let me pose that question. Let's take the 9 best players off of Clemson and their best player, who is Trevor Lawrence, and let's see where you end up. Because that is basically what happened to the Gamecocks. This year, I'm expecting them to be deeper. I'm expecting them to be significantly older. The injury bug in college football is fickle. If it hits your team, it can take a team that could win the national championship and make them barely a 500 ball club. Not even Alabama, I mean, by Nick Saban's own admission publicly, not even Alabama, with all of those 5-star players, can afford to lose veteran starters. Very, very difficult. Unless he's a Jadeveon Clowney-type player, a kid that's a 22-year-old senior should, and in most cases will, outperform an 18-year-old incoming freshman, unless he's Trevor Lawrence. But that's the exception, not the rule. So I'm expecting this thing to come down between Missouri, South Carolina, Florida, and Georgia. And I would not be surprised if any one of those 4 teams came out of the East. Now, the thing about Missouri is they've got that postseason ban where they really don't have anything to lose. And I think Barry Odom has done an outstanding job with allowing the Missouri players to believe that they can play with anybody. And look, confidence and belief is a lot in sports. If you're undersized, but you play hard and you feel like you've got a physical advantage over somebody who is athletically superior to you, you can win. I've seen it this year with our own team. We went to a 7-on-7, and I actually had the guy at the 7-on-7 that was running the 7-on-7 come up to me and go, "Man, we're worried about your team. They look awfully little. We're concerned about their safety." And I put my arm around him and I said, "Sir, just let them get out on the field. Just let them get out on the field." And our little old Blue Ridge wide receivers kicked the crap out of some of the best teams in the Southeast and ran up and down the field on them. So that's not always, and that's what Kentucky's going to have to do, and that's what South Carolina's going to have to do. Although I think the Gamecocks have more effort, and that's what Missouri does. So when you look across the SEC East, it's a lot better than what it has been. And Missouri, I think, is going to play a factor in this thing. Now, they can't win it, but they can sure daggone keep somebody else from winning it. And that's something that I'm pulling up their schedule. Well, let's see here. Missouri.
I tell you what, why don't we get to that after the break?
Oh, we're up against the break. Let's go ahead and take it. And we will talk. Yeah, we'll talk Missouri. I've got it up right now. We'll be ready to rock and roll. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. Welcome back to Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. I am Josh Phillips in the last segment of hour number 2. Wow, we've only got 1 more hour to go. Holy smokes.
That's what happens when you just spit fire for a full 2 hours, man. It just goes by so fast.
I should be a dragon on Game of Thrones.
I want to see your face. What would you how would you act out spitting dragon fire? Can you do it? I know this is an audio medium, but I want to see it for myself. No one else is going to get to see this, but I want you to make the face and do the action that you would do if you were a dragon right now.
Oh gosh, how do you do that? You just
there's no sound effect to it?
No.
You got to give the people at home something.
Well, I mean, you got to have fire. I don't have fire other than my tongue.
That look on your face, you're just like, hey. Come on, you gotta
put me on the
something
spot
like
that.
You get some wings out there, get the hands going. I just wanted to see if I could get you to do it.
Well, you came close, but I didn't. Not quite. Oh, the SEC East and the Missouri Tigers.
You look like every dad trying to take a selfie at that moment.
Yeah, you're probably right. Speaking of selfies, did I tell you what happened when Michael Phelps and I had a picture out in Arizona?
Did he come up to you for the photo, or did you go up to him?
Well, we were standing next to each other in Phoenix, you know, because I was out there for the Final Four. And I didn't even know he was next to me. And about that, because you're waiting in line, I'm on the floor. He's actually standing up at his seat, and I'm on the other side of the little barricade there, heading to my media seat, and it kind of gets log jammed right there, and they do the selfie, and the PA announcer says, "We would like to welcome 26-time Olympic gold medalist Michael Phelps." And I look up, and there I am standing next. And I'm like, wait a minute. And I turn around, and there he is. And I said, hey, what's – and, you know, of course he waves and does all that. And I went, hey, Mike, what's up, man? And, you know, we talked for about 5 minutes. He's a really cool guy. And I said, hey, can we grab a photo op? And he said, sure, that'd be great. Well, there was somebody with him, and I handed the phone to the guy, and the guy looked like I handed him a snake. I don't know if he was insulted or I don't know what it was. You know, because I don't have extraordinarily long arms. Well, Phelps started laughing, and he goes, I got you, Josh. Here, let me do it. And now this guy's got a wingspan like a condor, okay? And he's a big guy. And, you know, of course, so he holds it out, and we do the selfie, and as they say, the rest is history. Because I'm not into all this selfie stuff. I mean, I don't even know what Snapbook and FaceChat is, if that tells you anything.
See, I don't believe you, because you intentionally flip-flopped him, and you got it right.
Yeah, pulled it off pretty good, didn't I?
Yeah.
So, you know, look, when I was in the media doing sports talk show stuff, yeah, it was a little more because that's what the profession demands. You have to live on social media when you're a part of the sports talk broadcast industry. Instagram, I mean, I still haven't gotten into Instagram. It's all pictures. I mean, if that's the case, just use something else. But
people are too lazy to read nowadays.
Well, now the big thing, in all seriousness, is Snapchat. Snapchat and I've got a 15-year-old daughter now, and that's the thing among
You got to watch out for Snapchat.
Kid. Oh, she's not allowed to have a cell phone. Think about that, Diesel. There is actually a 15-year-old in the United States that does not have a cell phone, and my daughter is not allowed to have one. By my hand. By my hand. Because I'm not dealing with that crap. I'm not dealing with, and look, I'm never going to tell a parent how they need to parent their child. Never. That's not my place. But me being around these high school kids, and me, parents are stupid. And I'll just leave it at that. They're naive and they're dumb. But that's neither here nor there. But in my house, no, sir, not allowed, not going to. Now, when she gets out of the house and she does what she wants to do, she can get whatever she wants to get. Missouri has six starters back on their defensive line. They've got both defensive ends back. They've got three out of their five offensive linemen back. Their leading tackler is back in the middle. Cale Garrett. Kelly Bryant is back. Now, here's what's funny. A publication, you know, Derek Dooley got hired as the offensive coordinator, and I thought, you know, somebody came out that Josh Heupel, who left, who was the offensive coordinator at Mizzou, left to become the head coach at Central Florida. And everybody talked about how Derek Dooley was gonna keep going with what Josh Heupel did. And I thought, you people have got to be nuts. And sure enough, they dropped like 10 or 12 points or whatever. But they were good enough. And now they've got Kelly Bryant. And Kelly Bryant could be the difference maker for the Missouri Tigers. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.